So this is a great opportunity. This is something that has been in the works for several years that we have been sort of powwowing on this topic, and I'm glad following up last year's very good session that was here. So as we're talking about, we know that I get to see this beautiful site in my state every once in a while. I have no relationships to disclose. Oops, sorry. So our profession has obviously had an interest in fall prevention, and much of what I'm presenting, which is an overview of studies, have come from this journal that was published in November of last year. And I also want to do thanks to some of our members of our section who has been very involved with fall prevention information, Drs. Jeremy Cook and Adam Fleischer. So we know from traditional targets, we look at these four areas, certainly lower limb muscle weakness, general balance improvements, medication interventions, and environmental modifications. We are certainly interested in my profession in looking at foot problems, and do feel that this perhaps is an area of neglected risk. We do estimate that the impact is that one in three community-dwelling people older than 65 years of age do have a foot problem, and this has been documented in several studies here. So looking at the specific podiatric risk factors, again, as an overview, I have identified in studies here that foot problems have been associated with a fourfold risk in falls. And then serious foot problems, as listed here, bunions, toe deformities, ulcers, and nail pathologies, can double the risk of falls in a 75-plus age group study. And the other ones, obviously, are consistent with those findings as well, these other studies. So Dr. Menz, who is a podiatric physician in Australia, has done some longer-term studies. This is a one-year study that looked at these areas, and his findings here were that fallers did have a 12% less ankle joint dorsiflexion, and failed lesser digital grip tests, and a reduced tactile sensation, and generally had foot pain. 18% had a higher prevalence. And we also know that individuals that have an AKV or bunion deformity do seem to be worse, and certainly this sort of corresponds with some of the statistics that was presented just in the last study here. Another Australian, Karen Mickle, had done this study, which did win a Clinical Biomechanics Award study in 2009, was a prospective trial study over 312 participants, and they were assessed for a year's time, again, looking at some of these same foot deformity issues, bunions, hammer toes, and decreased strength. And these findings also, obviously, here show that there is a higher prevalence of fall risk. 35% of subjects reported a one-time fall during the 12 months, and obviously a higher percentage had two falls or more. And that, again, a very high proportion of people reported a fall with injury. And again, all these specific foot deformities did have an impact on the fall. Then looking at, again, some of the specific reasons, and some of this may be intuitive for some of us in our profession, that certainly the higher heel might have some impact on the risk of fall. But here are some other studies that looked at certainly what footwear or lack of footwear may do. And again, these do tend to be less rigorous studies, not huge numbers of people in these studies. But there does seem to certainly be some impact. I think one of the areas that is sort of ripe for, you know, looking at how do we perhaps do a better job in patients who are inpatients for their fall risk, because these studies are certainly identifying that there is an increased, as we know, in hospitals, and that is one of the, you know, quality sort of performers they're looking at in hospitals, is to decrease the fall risk in hospitals. But I thought this was very interesting, certainly, that looking at footwear issues or what people in hospitals have on their feet might have something to do with falls. And then many of us in my profession certainly have this issue of, you know, the selection of footwear in patients. And sometimes we know that aesthetics win over sort of the common sense. And this also goes to another study coming up. So here was a study that looked at certainly the effect of non-slip socks. And it does suggest that there is some benefit. These are the timed up and go test is certainly one of the screening devices that can be used to evaluate fall risk. And this was done with standard socks versus non-slip socks. And there did seem to be some improvement in the non-slip sock category. And then certainly suboptimal footwear. This is certainly not something unusual for our practitioners in clinical practices seeing patients that are probably not wearing the best of footwear. And then certainly in areas where patients may not necessarily be in their home environment and have access to what they might be normally wearing, such as in rehab units or long-term care facilities. So this is certainly another area of looking at. As we said, heel height certainly has an impact. We do know that the increased height over 2.5 centimeters do increase the odds almost by double over athletic and canvas shoes. And again, that seems somewhat intuitive for some of us. And that all of the heel height issues can change gait and muscle activity. Sole cushioning, we have identified, and I, being also a certified pet orthist, is very involved in the shoe part of treatment. Sole hardness by itself does not seem to be an indicator, but the thickness and softness of the outer sole does seem to have some impact on falls. Collar height does seem to provide certainly mechanical stability above the joint, and it does seem to help with sensory input. And then how do older adults perceive footwear beneficial for improving balance? And again, I think this is something many of us have heard our patients come to our offices and feel that many of the shoes that may be recommended as orthopedic variety shoes are difficult to walk in, heavy, they have slippery bottoms. So some of the suggestions is to look for alternatives with lighter weight shoes with substantial tread and a firm molded sole or insole. Does increased neuropathy have an effect on the fear of falling? And again, our patient population is certainly our diabetic. This is an area that we are certainly wanting increased information. And most of the patients in this study do not, unfortunately, identify an increased risk of falling. Can podiatric surgical intervention reduce falls? And this is, I think, a good study, and this is a study that Adam Fleischer was involved in, that yes, there does seem to be some benefit and improved balance following corrective surgery for HAV or bunions. And is a multifaceted intervention helpful? And again, this is an exercise-type program intervention, and there was certainly demonstrated benefit in this study in Australia. In younger populations, unfortunately, there's in the tools assessing risk in younger populations, as we know, it's not terribly reliable. There are obviously some more focused studies on age groups, but not a whole lot that I could pull for this talk. I know these are common patient concerns when we see younger patients in our office, and again, we use sort of a standard treatment algorithm to address that. And we just want to say, since on the previous studies that were presented, New Mexico came out as high risk on all of those colors, and we have done something. We actually have a coalition, and we do have funding through the Department of Health in New Mexico that is addressing, again, a multifaceted approach to falls prevention in New Mexico. Thank you.